Dan looked around innocent.
No, that's not awake you.
Are we on? Are you going to change it again if I say something stupid?
In that case.
Yeah, we really need to talk to
you. You need a remote.
Colossians chapter 12. I mean, Ecclesiastes. I was just looking for something in Colossians. Shut up, all of you.
Don't confuse us.
What?
Don't confuse us.
I wouldn't have to work very hard.
Bible study in the day room.
What?
It's like Bible study in the day room at the home.
Well, it is.
Wapner's coming.
Who's coming?
Wapner.
What are you talking about now?
10 minutes to Wapner. It's from...
Never mind.
Right now.
In verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of the assemblies, which are given from the one herd, masters of the assemblies, which are given from one shepherd, are the one shepherd. Yesterday we found out what the goad was, and we found out it was that Shagmar had killed 600 Philistines with it. We're not going to we talk about the nails all the time, so we'll just go to one scripture. Let's see what the nails are. I mean, what the nails mean. The nails are nails. I mean, there's not any mysterious meaning. But let's just go there to Colossians 2. See, that's why I said to Colossians. No, I'm not, but I just wanted to, I'm explained. There's Anthony.
Papa. Colossians 2.
Start in verse 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, or putting off the body, which are the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Every Passover, we read the Melito of Sardi. And we've also spent a lot of time on what Luther said about these issues, about the nails. You remember, first of all, he said the crown of thorns. Every time that you entertain your own thoughts, you're pounding the crown of thorns into us. Every time you think you have something to do, you're pounding the nails into his hands. Every time you think you have somewhere to go, You're pounding the, or something to do, you know, you're pounding the nails into his feet. That's an incredible concept. And yet Luther said it. But he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, nailing it to the cross. Remember what that was when we talked about that, about the blotting out? Remember, they didn't have erasers. When they made charges in a legal court, it was on the vellum or the scrolls. And when they blotted it out, when they even changed it, they just made a line through it. But in this case, it was totally erased. But what we do with it is, it's not just the things that you think if you understood the ordinances that were against you, you would understand that anything other than emptiness returns you to the all the ordinances come back. They can't come back just one. So that's why I said if you're a respecter of persons, then you've totally gone against all of the law, not just the law about not being a respecter of persons. So you can't have just one, or you can't have a half of one, or you can't say it's either all blotted out, erased, and you walk before him empty as that small child, or you got them all back again, and then you have to play and act and do everything. So he blotted them out, and he nailed, what did he just say? And took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, when I first became a believer, most of you know, I went to a lot of different meetings and churches and Sundays and Wednesdays and all, anytime I could find the time to go. And the ordinances weren't blotted out. In fact, there were more of them, because somebody was telling me how to do this and how to do that and how to get something from God. And so there was something that for me, it didn't make any sense, because the experience that I've had, it was everything was blotted out, and there was a new creature, a new creation. But then you had to go over here and get all these how to do this and how to do that and how to get healed and how to speak in tongues and how to get blessed and how to have a nice marriage. So it wasn't, they weren't blotted out. They were changed or amended, or it's like with the promise keepers, you know, they couldn't keep the first 10, so they added 7 more, the 7 principles of godly men. Well, it revealed me, this is what we always do. This is what our mind does. Instead of having everything nailed to the cross, what we do is, on a daily basis, we try to write something else up there on the, you know, it's we might call it post-it theology, because we've got a whole bunch of other stuff now. And now somebody's going to get upset because they say, well, I couldn't do what I do unless I put the post-its up. I won't mention any names. But can you understand what post-it theology is? It wasn't nailed to the cross. That the ordinances that were against us, it wasn't nailed to the cross because we added these whole bunches of other ones. It may have been for a minute. Do you understand this?
There's something really amazing about God's way of blotting out an ordinance. It's not with an eraser and a pencil and a line, but with flesh and blood. It's so visceral that his life and death blots out these things, if you see
it. And then when I started studying the intricacies of Leviticus and the law, then I saw something that I would never have even considered unless I had studied the law, that before you could even enter into the tabernacle and or enter into the tabernacle in the wilderness and go into the door, there had to be something dealt with. You had to deal with the ritual impurities, you had to deal with trespass, and you had to deal with sin before you could go into the door. Because all of the trespass, all that he was crucified without the camp, and all of the sin offerings and trespass offerings and all of that, they were done without the camp. And so what happened? How did we do this? And then it hit me that what we do and with regard to trespass, the trespass offerings cover what we do. And there was a whole range of them and all the different grades and all the subtleties of the various trespass offerings that Israel offered daily. But the one thing that it hadn't dealt with was me. And the me of this mystery has been dealt with the sin offering. Because the me part of this is the never, never ending. We call it self-seeking, but it's really, how am I going to survive today? What am I going to do today? And the reason it's the sin offering isn't what you do or don't do. The sin offering is for what we are because of the curse. But what we do instead is we don't accept that. We don't see this thing of abandon yourself, take no thought for your life, take no thought for what you're going to eat, take no thought for what you're going to wear, take no thought for anything. What we do, we be prudent. We are convinced that these certain steps are necessary for us to do in order to accomplish some end. And so, you know, we have to do X, Y, and Z. And I can hear the mind talk, well, that you have to do that. You have to do that. No, you don't. Or at least, no, some parts of the body of Christ don't have to do it. Because he's blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, and he nailed it to the cross. What are the ordinances that are against us? You've got a whole raft of them if you've thought about your day today. Right? You've got all kinds of to-dos and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Gary's got a whole list of... He's already made the list while he was walking. If he hadn't made it before, what he's going to do. Harry, all he has to do is glance at his Post-its. Huh?
I made it while you were talking.
Right. I mean, that's the truth. Because your mind goes and you make the list. You got to do this and this and this. And here's how I'm going to do this. And this is what I have to do in order to do that. What? You think I'm picking on you?
I think you're getting ready to.
I think I'm winding up?
I'm just prepared because I can tell about 5 minutes ago you zeroed in on me and you're going to do something.
Pull some.
Do you think I planned this?
I think you need an illustration, and I think you may pick me this morning instead of Gary.
Let's look at one scripture. Let's go to Romans 4. What's this stuff of if you say something and then you hit each other? What's that mean?
Connection.
Huh? Does that mean like an ally? Oh, that's the other one I see doing. They do this?
Brother, sister.
Or they pat him on the ass?
Yeah, I think that one you can not get away with too often, but yeah, try it.
It's just the way we roll.
Romans 4. Do you think it's possible? Let me ask you this before we read this. Do you think it's possible to live a life without having any concept of what's going to happen next?
I don't know. I have a concept of
answers.
What did it mean when, you know, Jesus said, I do nothing of mine own self, but I only do what I see the Father do? Do you think he had an internal television set? He always surprised people. He never answered their questions. He always said on some off-the-wall thing. But whatever happened, do you think he had an agenda? Every single time that you sit and consider what's going to happen and how you're going to accomplish it, then by definition, you are adding ordinances that are against you. You're adding something else that will put you in debt. We just saw all the New Year's resolutions. Every one of the New Year's resolution is another ordinance to put you in debt. Today, all the lists and all the things that you've made are ordinances, the handwriting of ordinances that are against you because their function is to put you in debt. Can you buy that? And your minds are going, well, what if? If I didn't do that, then I wouldn't, blah, 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 blah. The common thing that people used to tell me, if I did what you'd say, Oli, I would just go sit in a corner. I've heard that so many times. Well, the reason you would is because you deny, you have a form of godliness, but deny his efficacy. Now, I'm not saying you, all of us do it. When we're confronted with something, our first response to it is how and what can we do about it? Our first response is to lean on our own arm of understanding for a solution. Now, what the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes is to bring us to a point, and this is why this thing about fastening it with nails is important, because it's to bring us to a point where we can at least repent when we do that. It's not a matter of that, well, I'm not going to do it again, and this is not what I'm going to do. But you must reach a point where you can say, Father, forgive me. I leave myself behind if I ever again try to figure out or try to lean on my own arm of understanding of what I'm going to do about X, Y, or Z. Can you at least accept that as a statement that's needed? Because if you don't, then you're going to have these handwritings of ordinances that are you think are going to add life to you, but in fact, they are against you.
You know, we always want to arrange our lives so that we won't have to
have faith.
Have the trespass offering.
Right.
It's like, oh, we'll see what I can do, so I'll go and deal with the trespass offering the fewest number of times, when in reality, those offerings are the things that bring life, and it comes in repentance. You know, it's like that's where you want to be.
Let me give you an example. We've labored to enter into the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest isn't a day of the week, it's a person. And that person is Christ. If I stub my toe, if I had sandals on and I stubbed my toe and it was bleeding or something, and I took my sandal off and carried my sandal, I would be breaking the Sabbath. Now, God isn't interested in our projects. He's not interested, and he gives no breath to what you have to do today. He is interested in conforming you to the image of Christ. And in order for that to have an opportunity to be manifest, you have to at least be willing to repent or to turn and leave some way of doing business behind. Now, the slate of handwriting of ordinances that are against you, you renew daily. Because it's something that you have to work. It's something you have to do. Now, but Romans 4, verse...
Romans 4 or somewhere?
I don't know. I just lost my place. I got... Oh, yeah. Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the faith hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, i.e., and again you have to see what that means. The works don't just mean trying to be working for some salvation. The works mean the thing that you're going to do next. And if you studied the laws of the Sabbath, you would see that there is nothing you can do. You got to be totally at peace and at rest and in joy. Otherwise, you're not celebrating the Sabbath. You're not celebrating Him. Now, and again, I can hear the mind. Well, this I got to do this, because if I didn't do this, this is how I know I got to do that. And then I got to do this. And then this happens, and then this will happen. And if I don't do this, then that will happen. And we're all of those voices have one name on them: blasphemy, because they deny the foundation of the faith. Can you hear? Can anybody hear me? Can you at least accept that? And so, what do we do? To him, read it. Okay. What did Abraham found? What did he find? For if Abraham were justified by works, whereof he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, or is still working it, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, we always take these kinds of scriptures and we separate them from ourselves, because we're fundamentally Pharisees. And we separate them and say that's a nice philosophical construct. But then 5 seconds later, we go back and say, well, this is what I got to do today, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is what I have to call, and this is what I have to do. Do you understand the disconnect? And the reason for the disconnect is that we have a form of godliness, but we deny His efficacy, His ability. So no matter if Benjamin Franklin hadn't invented the best known verse in the Bible, we used to be anyway, which is God helps those that help themselves. Some 85% of Christians believe that is in the Bible. That verse, that's the verse. God helps those that help themselves, and they especially use it when they're talking about dealing with the poor. Can you today, for this moment in time, admit that you're helpless? And let the gospel truly be preached to a vessel that's manifest for His glory, and not manifest for another day of doing the same damn thing again, and then screwing up, and then having all of these things that... You want to hear another common cliche that's been hollered at me for 35 years? Well, that's easy for you. There's some people in this room that said it. This is easy for you to talk about because you don't have a family. You don't have these responsibilities. No. Got to get down to the short hairs. And the short hairs here, as pertaining to this thing about nailing and the goads, are the very essence of where your religion is. And your religion is in your temple, and it's a religion that's based on performance. And it's an anathema to the finished work of Christ. A little bit of understanding. Let out what's going on in your minds. Let it out.
I know what I'm thinking. Can godliness be expressed through being thoughtful and kind and reliable?
You know what the word godliness means?
I guess I do.
Correct thinking. And ungodliness means incorrect. Ascidious or sidia or something like that. But it's how you think. It has nothing to do with the expression. Get mad at me. Come on.
Okay, I'll follow up on that. I'm not trying to be obstinate here. If I'm being thoughtful and kind and reliable to other people...
Then you're probably a hypocrite. Because it's not what's going on inside you.
Got it.
That's fine. I love it when you... When
okay,
this happens.
I have certain people have certain expectations of me as being part of Trinity.
What do you mean, Pete?
People.
Not certain people, crap.
People.
Yesterday, he was telling me that it was somebody else. But go ahead.
Say it.
What did I say?
Who is it?
Every. I think everyone has some.
Okay, that's why we live in community. That's why this message must be preached in the assembly, because it becomes a common experience.
So what I'm doing is for community, not performance.
Has nothing to do with you. And if you don't say, if you have resentment, then you are robbing from God. If you act like you're doing it, and you're doing, aha, that's so wonderful to be here, you son of a bitch. Then the religion that is going on, the only religion that counts, what's going on in you as the temple of the living God, is a sham. That's why you have to say. And in that saying, there's fire. There's conflict. But if there isn't, then there's only hypocrisy and boredom, and pretty soon you'll just move off into the night. The only thing that has any possibility of merit about me is you never have to wonder what I'm thinking. Oh, is he thinking about me? Is he? No, if I'm thinking about you, I'll tell you. Now that's, I'm not claiming that I'm anything righteous, but my God, when are we going to start having the religion that's going on inside us manifest? So at least there can be, you can exhort one another daily while it's still, instead of exhorting toward performance. We don't care about performance. I don't care about expectations that people have of you. I care about your integrity. Are you one person or are you two or three? Does that communicate? Can I say it any clearer?
No, it's said very clearly.
Now, the same is true about these daily chores. Why is it that most people end up their lives, they're living a life of, they're miserable because they're so far in debt by all these handwritings, but yet they're Christians. And so then they have to go to another meeting to find out what to do about how to do those debts and those handwriting, how to write better. No. The mystery of godliness is emptying. Repentance. And the faith of the Father that says, "I, the next breath is up to you, Father. The next, what the fruit, the results, everything is up to you. I have no investment in it. I have no dog in the race." This is what we've learned in Ecclesiastes. This is what every word of Ecclesiastes has told us. I think we're going to have probably... Well, I mean, I can hear the gears turning.
One thing I was thinking of was that love isn't, you know, love is
doesn't have
expression of Christ. But when we're conscious of it, then that's not what's going on. You know, if we're conscious of ourselves, then no matter what's going on, It's that's not it.
No.
So, you know, as to analyze our ourselves and do all that stuff, it just guarantees that what we need to do is repent, not any get an analysis.
Right, especially if you hear the cross preach, if you hear your death, and then your mind is saying, well, how in that, what they, how can that, I could, blah, 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 blah. It's either true or it isn't. If it's not true to you, then don't waste your time. Go out and be the best doer and thinker and go, you know, go to somebody that teaches you how to really get things done, how to really be a... But if you're going to be here, then have the integrity to say, my God, my God. I know that the religion that's going on in me as the temple of the living God is the antithesis of what's going on in you and what your desires are. And so I forgive me, Father. I abandon myself to your love. And I don't care if you have to do that 10,000 times a day. But for right now, just be willing to, instead of listening to all of the justifications of your mind.
Those words about that Jesus talked to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and his will you don't do.
That's all you're capable of willing to do.
And to see that, that'll kill you.
That's what it's supposed to do. And you wonder why people get mad? I wonder that anyone even listens. Again, just be. Stop trying to be. I was going to show you in each of separate little places in the scripture where the words of the wise were as goads and nails fastened and blah, blah, blah. And then we hurry, get off. I go on some rant.
Was there someone or something in particular that you set you off? Or was this just maybe something ranting? Or?
Maybe something from your childhood?
Yeah, from my inner child? No, it was... It was sensing what was going on in your mind as the justifications rather than saying, and without saying them.
I remember how dramatic it was when I realized I had to repent of wanting to have a good reputation. Like that was the, surely that's a value that God appreciates.
And it took me 20 some years before I could repent of wanting to be delivered from pain.
I'm going to say, I'm wanting to have a bad reputation.
Well, see, the reason you don't want to sit there is this cane. It's just it's Skippy. It's the anti-Skippy.
I'm understanding a lot more here.
It's the anti-Skippy. We've named Dan, his muse is named Skippy. And every once in a while.
And, of course, his lovely wife, Mrs. Skippy.
Mrs. Skippy.
I want to ask for a prayer for Nancy, who has heart surgery today to change a pacemaker.
Oh,
and Dana,
wow.
Dana will be with her. Good schedule and everything.
She's
kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Changing your battery.
50,000 miles.
Wow. Didn't even know she had a pacemaker.
Oh, yeah.
Father, surround her with your love.
Yeah, Brother Buckner, too.
Gary's got to have some kind of radiation treatment.
Gary Buckner?
Yeah, our Gary.
No, he doesn't. I've been with him all weekend. He didn't say the same thing about it.
Since we're off on your
You're off on your wine bibbing, and he...
I was with him.
A secret place.
Anybody else? I mean, do you understand that this is where reality is?
So
I mean, not where you're talking about, but about... Does all the rest of it is just acting? Oh, I'm going to learn how to act better. Those that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Change, be different, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. What does that mean? Well, it's obvious what it means, but... Please, please, please. All you have to do is be you and just say what's there. Like Jeff did. You don't have any buts about all this, Mr. Buckner?
Buts?
Yes, but?
No, just the thing about Jesus' father, he knew who his father was. And I've always, when you talk about, just say, Father, forgive me, Father, and then he says, your father's the devil, and then which God are you praying to? All those things kind of coalesce here, what you talked about this morning.
Well, you know, if you're trying to do something to protect you or save you or fix you,
then you're praying to the wrong God.
You're praying to the wrong God.
That's such a big deal.
If you're thinking about it, you're wrong.
Yeah. If you think you're right, you're wrong.
If you're thinking about it, you're wrong.
Take a big guy. But we didn't get to the important part about why it's said in the assembly.
I like your new phrase.